Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Los Angeles-based jazz big band leader, arranger, and composer Dave Sloniker. We got into his new 2022 CD done with the big band called Convergency. He grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and was handed down a trombone by his father. He was curious about classical, jazz, and popular styles of music, and was determined to study both classical and jazz composition and performance. These days, he is a film and TV orchestrator, arranger, and composer. His compositions and arrangements have been performed by Clark Terry and the Woody Herman and Count Basie orchestras. He's got plenty of wisdom and stories from his jazz journey. Enjoy this interview.
Hello, Joe.
Joe DiVino, Neon Jazz Radio in Kansas City. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm great, man. Thanks for taking a minute out.
Sure. So I'm honored, actually.
Well, yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, it's great to talk to you. I really dig the album. And I think before we get into how you put this together and your feelings about it now that the world's opening up, how did you survive COVID and how did that two-year pandemic lockdown period change you?
Oh, boy, that's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. I didn't mean to start off like that.
Well, you know, fortunately, I'm an older guy. So, you know, it wasn't at the peak of my earning and working years. So I feel very bad for anyone in their 20s, 30s, 40s. Because the work out here just stopped unless you had the capabilities to work. You had a home studio and you could record your instrument. You had a good microphone and you could send out a track to people. So there was a lot of that going on. But as an orchestrator, I was free to work. So it didn't bother me in that regard. But, you know, some of the fun of what I have done for the past 40 years is going to the studio and hanging out. And that just sort of ended because we had strict protocols out here. I forget the timeline now. It's sort of like a bad memory. You just forget about it. But actually, you know, I wrote a lot of music. Some of the charts in this album come from that period. I took some art lessons. I've always had an interest in art, and hence there's a tune on the album called Vanishing Point, because I learned about vanishing points. So I think, like everyone else, I tried to be productive and watched much too much TV, but, you know, I tried to make the most of it, and, you know, we actually... If I could segue to the album, we actually recorded this at the beginning of Omicron. And, you know, if you recall, last summer, I think most of us thought that everything was hunky-dory, that everything was going to end. And then all of a sudden, Omicron appeared, or something, I've lost track. And, you know, I had already booked the studio for October. And, you know, gotten all the guys together to commit. And so at some point it's a go. And then all of a sudden, you know, we had very strict protocols to get into the studio. Everyone had to test every day. Everyone had to have their temperature taken at the beginning of the day. And we all had to wear masks. So I have pictures, but, you know, I don't want... You know, what's the point of putting pictures of guys in masks? It was an interest, and we had to spread out in the studio. So the band is a little, I have a YouTube video up there, and I'll put some more up in time. But the band is kind of more spread out than maybe I would have liked. So that's how I spent those years. We're all ready to get back to it. Hopefully we will be able to, even though I guess we will have to live with this virus for a while.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm curious about your path in music. You started out in Pittsburgh. Talk to me a little bit about how you got into jazz and how this journey began for you.
Well, I was in, it was the 60s. I don't want to date myself too much, but there were music programs were pretty strong. You know, every high school had music going all the way back. I started in elementary school. You know, the instructor would come around and demonstrate instruments, the high school band instructor. And my father was a trombonist back from when he was a young person. He had it in the closet, and I don't know how it worked out. It just sort of worked out that I started on trombone from elementary school and started to play. I remember in the seventh grade, the band director came to me and said, "Would you like to play in a dance band?" Because back then they were called dance bands. And, you know, I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't like to dance at the time, so I wasn't sure what it was. But actually, Western Pennsylvania and probably Kansas as well, Kansas City, had many, I guess you'd call them sweet bands or swing bands of maybe about 10 to 12 pieces that would play in ballrooms. You know, there was still a ballroom culture in Western Pennsylvania and parts of Ohio. So there, and my town, which is a suburb of Pittsburgh, New Kensington, had, I think there were five bands based in that town alone. So there was a lot of activity in Pittsburgh. There were a lot of jazz clubs. I just started to play the jazz band, and then thought it would be interesting to go into music. And from everything I read, it was important to have keyboard skills. So then I started to study piano. And so I play a little piano, and I have given up the trombone because I just got too busy in composition and orchestration. And so there was just a culture in Pittsburgh that was kind of exciting. I liked it. I liked playing in these bands. One thing led to another.
So what was the first live jazz show that you saw that really made you think that's something you want to do with your life?
Well, that's easy. Those were the years of Dave Brubeck. I remember my dad taking me to a Dave Brubeck concert, and, you know, he was pretty big back then. But there were also, there was a trombonist in Pittsburgh by the name of Harold Betters, who played in, I think, a suburb, Shadyside, a suburb of Pittsburgh. And I loved hearing him. And there was another pianist that named Johnny Costa, who was the music director for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which was filmed in Pittsburgh. And he happened to live in my hometown. You know, there was just a lot of music in that area.
Are you in L.A. right now?
Yes.
Okay. So what exactly brought you out there, and what kind of a culture shock was that from coming from Pittsburgh?
Well, there's a lot of stuff in between, you know, because I did go to Eastman School of Music, which is in Rochester, upstate New York, and they get quite a bit of snow, as you might imagine. There was something about L.A. that always appealed to me, you know, in the wintertime in Pittsburgh and in Rochester, New York, you're watching these golf tournaments, the Rose Bowl, and the weather's nice, and you think, man, that might be a nice place to live someday. But it really came down to the choice that I think a lot of musicians have, and that was, do you go to New York or do you go to L.A., particularly if you want to get into film and advertising? There's also Chicago and Nashville, and I think Dallas had some music production, and they still have it. I mean, many cities have music production. You just have to look for it. But it just came to a choice between New York and Los Angeles. I wanted to get into film as part of, I mean, I think if you're a composer, an arranger, you have to be able to do a lot of different things. So you may never completely I mean, I can't make a living being as a big band leader. So I orchestrate, I arrange for people, and you just have to decide what place might be the best place to have the greatest potential to do all the different things you want to do. And so we decided to come to Los Angeles.
You know, you've had quite a trail of longevity in the music industry and in playing, and you've been around a lot of players over the years. What have you learned from the veterans and esteemed players that you've been around that you in turn use to try to teach younger players you get around?
Well, I think the amazing thing about, you know, I'll speak just with the Los Angeles players, is how versatile they are. They can play jazz. I mean, many of them can play, many that you don't suspect can play jazz. They can play fine, orchestral, legit, and they could do it on the second take, perfect on the second take. And that's not easy. I've been in situations where I've orchestrated cues that are quite complex, and they'll sight read it right down, and then when you record the first take, it's virtually perfect. You know, it's sight reading, it's the ability and flexibility to play different styles. But I think the key thing, if you're going to be one of the top players in your profession, is intonation. You just can't play out of tune. And it becomes very noticeable. It's even more noticeable now with Pro Tools. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but, you know, everyone... If you're sticking out and playing out of tune, everyone's going to know it. That ruins a take. So if a take is ruined, that's time is money in this business. So I would say to any young player, work on your sound and your intonation, and then be versatile enough to be able to play in sight read any style of music.
What have you liked over all these years? What's the best part about being a professional musician? What do you like the best about it?
I go back to high school. My favorite part is being part of an ensemble and playing in front of an audience. And that hasn't changed. Even when you're on a soundstage and there's no audience, you're with other people and you're coming together and making something. I think that's the most exciting thing about music. And I think the world could use more of that, actually.
Absolutely.
Because you have to work with other people. And it's just so exciting to be in that environment.
Everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
That's an interesting question. I think I'm still trying to figure that out, Joe, I think. To be honest with you. You know, I just want to be a competent professional. That's really all I aspire to. You want to be a good friend to people. That's the most important thing, and a good family man. But probably the most important thing is being known as a good craftsman in my music and when I work for other people.
Excellent. Dave, thank you for opening up about the album and your life and music. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to having it on the show.
Okay. Thank you for your interest. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Los Angeles, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Dave for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz, all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.